T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Andy Bunker and Bryant McFadden here with you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Joined now on the WadeFord.com hotline by Jason Butt of The Athletic. Jason, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are y'all doing?
All right, Jason, how you doing?
Busy week, man, obviously, as we get ready for Thursday. I saw that you have a mock draft out. You are one of, well, I guess everyone who has a mock draft out, which is great. We'll talk about that in a minute. But I just, big picture perspective as we head towards Thursday, what would you say that you're confident about that the Falcons are going to try to accomplish either Thursday or in the draft in general?
They're going to try to get bigger up front, whether that is the offensive line, defensive line. I think any of the moves or any of the picks that they make when it concerns the offensive line and the defensive line, you're not going to see the kind of size that you saw last season. I think you're going to see it. And they've already shown us a glimpse of that with what they've done in free agency, even though most of these signings have been depth signings. You've definitely seen they've all been a bunch of bigger bodies, bringing back Adrian Claiborne, obviously. You know, he's 280 on the offensive line, bringing in the two guards, Carpenter and Jamon Brown. Mm-hmm. You know, those guys are much bigger than what you saw in the interior last year. That's one thing I'm definitely confident about, that they're going to go with size, and it's pretty easy to understand why. You got to stop the run. You got to be able to run in this league and at the end of the day, and they weren't really able to do either of those consistently last year.
We just heard from Thomas Dimitroff that, you know, being at the 14th spot is a real good place to be because you can either move up or move back. What do you think will need to happen for the Falcons to potentially consider moving up in the draft?
Well, if they want to make a blockbuster move, I think Quinnen Williams would have to fall out of the top four. And then all of a sudden, I think if you're Atlanta, then you go, okay, what can we do to realistically move up? Now, will that happen? Probably not. But I think after that, you're looking at guys like Ed Oliver, Montez Sweat. I think if those guys are in that 6-8 range, I think if you're Atlanta, you start picking up the phone and saying, okay, what do you guys want? How can we get up? More so for Ed Oliver. I think if Sweat falls to around that 8 range, you start to think about it. But there's another guy, and in my mock that Andy was alluding to, I have them taking Cody Ford, assuming they stay at 14. At the same time, Cody Ford's a guy that it seems like a lot of the draft analysts and the draft writers aren't that high on. They haven't been putting him, you know, necessarily in the top 15 of a lot of drafts. But he's a guy that the Bengals like at 11, the Panthers like at 16. And I'm not saying that they like him for those spots, but that's where they pick, and they have been high on him. He's a guy that I could see. The Texans like him. They're back at 23, but they got a lot of draft capital that they can move up. So that's a guy that I wouldn't be surprised if they zero in on him, if Oliver Sweat are off the board to top 7, and all of a sudden you got to be mindful of teams like Carolina, teams like Houston, and then, of course, Cincinnati at 11, and then say Devin Bush is gone at that point, too. You got to be mindful of these other teams and what you've seen out there about liking a guy like Cody Ford. I think he's a guy that could wind up going a lot earlier than a lot of people expect. And I think those are the kind of scenarios where I could see Atlanta moving up in the draft.
Well, you know what? Clearly great minds think alike, or you've been tuning into the show, because I said the same thing about Quinnen Williams, and potentially if he falls anywhere outside of the top 4, you got to roll the dice and make a move. Now, when you talk about Cody, I like Cody also, but I think his versatility will make him extremely intriguing to teams. But what do you see is is the most important need? And not just talking about offensive line, defensive line. I'm talking about defensive line. And you talked about some edge rushers. What is the bigger need, edge rushing or interior player on the defensive line?
Now, it's tough because it's almost 50-50 in a way. But if you're looking at just pure fit right now, I would say the interior defensive line, because they missed a guy like Dontari Poe more than they probably ever thought they would. Just not having that size inside to take on blockers and let Grady Jarrett do his thing, you know, as a 3-tech. And so part of me thinks that, you know, if you have a chance, that's one reason why. If you have a chance to go get a guy like Quinnen Williams, you pair him up inside with Grady, let them kind of rotate even back and forth. I mean, he's not as big as a guy like Don Terry Poe, but you have a chance to go get a disruptor like that, I think you'd go get him. But then another name that comes to mind is Dexter Lawrence. And you can either go ahead and take him at 14, or you can trade back and maybe get him a little bit later and add a pick on top of it. And that's a guy at 342 with the kind of athleticism he has. He's more of just a pure fit for what Atlanta could use up front. And that would further help free up the pass rushers. Granted, you gotta still try to get the most out of Tack McKinley and Vic Beasley. And I'm not sure the Falcons necessarily with this draft, if you have a chance to go get Montez Sweat or an edge rusher like that, I think, yeah, you do it. But at the same time, what does that say about the previous investment you made with Tack McKinley? And obviously, what does that say in addition to the fact that they've already decided that they're gonna stay with Vic Beasley for this, fifth year of his rookie deal? So, I see both scenarios, but I think from a pure defensive fit right now, shoring up that nose tackle spot is probably slightly more important than the edge rusher.
Jason Butt joining us, covers the Falcons for The Athletic. You can check out his mock draft on The Athletic that he posted yesterday, a 7-round mock draft with Oklahoma offensive lineman Cody Ford going in the first round. Jason, why do you think Grady signed his franchise tag tender yesterday? Why would you do that on the Monday of draft week?
Yeah, I don't really have an answer for you there. I think it's just a matter of, it's a good show of faith to the fan base that no matter what happens with negotiations all the way up to July 15th, Grady Jarrett's going to be with his franchise for this season. He's not going to hold out. He's not going to do any of that other stuff. I mean, will he show up for OTAs? I don't know. There's a good chance he doesn't. But I think by signing the franchise tag at this point, It just shows that, when minicamp comes, he's going to be there. When training camp opens, he's going to be there. You don't have to really worry about his status at this point by doing that. At the same time, the team and Grady can still, negotiate, hammer out a long-term deal, hope to come to an agreement before that deadline. But, any terms of gaming, any of that sort of thing, Grady was always going to be with this team. It was a matter of could they hammer out a deal or not by the deadline. I just think it's more of a sign of good faith that he went ahead and signed that tag on earlier this week on Monday.
Jason, throughout the draft, potentially we will see players get drafted that we had no clue would be going as high as what we will see. How soon should the Falcons address the linebacker unit?
Oh man, see that's a good one. I know in my mock I don't have them the seventh round, but it could happen as early as the third or fourth round, honestly. If there's a guy that fits what they want to do, considering that you've got guys like Duke Riley's entering his third year, you've got Devondre Campbell who's in a contract year, obviously Deion Jones, you got to pay him, he's in a contract year. So and on top of that, you have so many other positions. Foye played well as a rookie, too. I should throw that out there.
Yeah.
But you have so many other positions on this roster that you have to pay after this season. And so does a guy like Devondre Campbell, who has performed great up to this point, does somebody like him end up, by doing so, kind of outpricing himself for what the Falcons can pay with the salary cap? So, at a certain point, I think, the Falcons, if a linebacker comes across, the right linebacker at the right time comes across their draft selection in the third, fourth, fifth round, I'd say why not? I think that's that's definitely a good possibility that you could see a linebacker maybe go earlier than maybe you would normally expect based on the other pressing needs that this team has.
Jason Butt joining us here. Final question for you, Jason. And again, I'll tweet out the mock draft that Jason put together yesterday. And I know this is your mock draft. I know it's based on a variety of different things, including availability of players. But you have them doing very similar thing to what they did last year in that they didn't address the defensive tackle need until the third round. How would that be possible? How would that be received if they do that back-to-back years? When I think we agree, whether it's the biggest need or not, it's one of the biggest needs. To wait till the third round last year and this year to address defensive tackle, how does that work?
You just have to go with, based on fit, value, at all of your needs positions. That's something that Thomas Dimitrov has hammered. He hammered it again last week. He has in previous years before I showed up. When you look at who's available in the second round at defensive tackle, after Dexter Lawrence, it goes in the first, after Christian Wilkins, after those kind of guys. When you get to the second round defensive tackles, I think you're going to see better value at cornerback, and which is also a position of need, than you would at defensive tackle for those second-round guys, which is why I think then all of a sudden you get to the third round and fourth round, and then you come back to some of those D linemen where you can get some pretty good value. The only reason I have that is because I have them taking an offensive lineman. Now, here's a scenario that I think the Falcons should consider, and it's something that I'm going to write about. I'm going to have three bold moves, the Falcons, kind of just an opinion piece for tomorrow. One of the things I think they should consider, in all honesty, stay at 14, but then see if you can use some of your later picks and trade into the first round and get a second first-round selection. I think that could be a way that the Falcons address defensive tackle. You could either go ahead and take Dexter Lawrence or Christian Wilkins at 14, and then maybe trade back in and get an offensive lineman like Caleb McGarry late in the first round, a kid from Washington who the Falcons really like, as I've heard so far. So, there are still some scenarios where you could maybe address both those positions. I mean, they have 9 picks, so they have some capital to do so. They don't necessarily have a lot of picks in the same round. I think it's Houston has two picks in the second round that they can help use, maybe move up in the first round. And the Falcons don't really have that. But they could probably package something together to move back into the late first round, get one of those linemen that are getting a late first-round grade and still address defensive tackle with that first pick. So there's a lot of scenarios. And what I did with my mock draft, I did no trades. I just went, they stay at every selection. But it is the NFL draft. You can almost be assured that Thomas Dimitrov will make a trade. It's what he likes to do on draft weekend. So I think there are a lot of twists and turns to come when it comes to this Falcons draft.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.